Generate is supporting my vision to improve the financial literacy of 100,000 Kiwis by sponsoring Keep the Change. Cheers, Generate. Head to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to find out more. Getting in the KiwiSaver fund that suits you and your situation is key to making sure you're maximising your investment. Generate are an award-winning KiwiSaver provider with a track record of long-term performance, and they can help you do exactly this. Their advisors can meet with you to talk about all your options when it comes to KiwiSaver to help you decide what's best for you. Too many people never get KiwiSaver advice, but not you. Go to generatekiwisaver.co.nz/change to book a no-obligation chat with a Generate advisor. A copy of the product disclosure statement is available at generatekiwisaver.co.nz. The issuer of the scheme is Generate Investment Management Limited. And of course, past performance does not guarantee future returns.
It's not just a recession we're in, it's a double dip recession. New Zealand was going backwards economically for the most of last year.
Awesome.
And as business correspondent Simon Shepherd explains, there's even less to go around because of record migration.
I think it's not surprising at this point.
Nicole Rebstock is used to tough trading. Not long after she launched her high-end shoe label, COVID hit.
Fuck.
A recession is just the next hurdle.
Bring it on.
It's not bad for business to have to learn resilience. It's a really important lesson.
Good attitude.
And I think for our team, we've spent most of our life in this business as, in this more difficult environment.
And it is difficult. Retail was hit again leading up to Christmas, but another industry is a worse performer.
One of the kind of most dramatic things that we've seen is that the manufacturing sector's kind of shrunk for about sort of six of the last seven quarters or something like that.
New Zealand's now experiencing a double dip recession.
Tip-top.
The economy shrank over the summer of 22-23, popped its head up for a breath of air in June quarter of last year, and then headed down again for the rest of the year. Record migration levels is usually one way to boost the economy, except it's not working. At the household level, the economic pie is still shrinking.
It's kind of a smaller pie, not only that, but it's being spread more thinly as well.
One sector bucking the doom and gloom is dairy. Fonterra CEO Miles Hurrell delivering a video message.
We've had a strong first half with a lift in both earnings and dividend.
Half-year profits 23%, which means farmers can expect a milk powder price of $7.80 a kilo. Some good figures for the Prime Minister as he laid blame for the bad ones elsewhere.
Blame excuse deny.
We formed a government at the end of November, and Chris Hipkins, no disrespect, but I don't take any economic lessons from the last Labour government and Chris Hipkins.
The PM still promising tax relief, but many eyes will be on the engineer of this recession, the Reserve Bank, and when it will decide to ease interest rates and the economic pain.
Well, okay, Simon, as anyone with a mortgage will want to know, is this double dip recession going to have any impact on the interest rates are going to come down?
Well, Sam, the Reserve Bank in its last policy statement was softer in its tone, but with inflation still around 4.7%, it says rate cuts are 2025, mid to early 2025. A range of views amongst economists about that. Biggest bank, ANZ, says yes, 2025.
ASB,
Westpac, and Kiwi Bank are all saying it should be November this year. But as to your question as to whether this is going to make any change, the answer is, it looks like households are going to have to cut those nice to haves until the end of the year at the earliest.
Thank you, Simon.
Welcome in to the double dip, the fucking tip-top recession. Oh, gee whiz, the jelly tip, the whatever we want to call it. Dip your recession twice in the chocolate and have a good chew on that bastard because it's here, baby. We're in the double dip recession. I shouldn't joke about these things. I guess it's relatively serious. However, if you've been a long-time listener of Keep the Change, I assume that the big announcement on the 21st of March wasn't much of a surprise to you. And I thought we'd lead with a little bit of insight as to what the media were talking about and what the stories were around the old traps on Thursday when we got this recession data. Now, I just want to acknowledge that people will get hurt during this time. It is fearful. It's uncertain. And part of being a leader myself, I look at myself as a leader, I think is to bring certainty to an uncertain situation. And that's what I've been trying to do over the last couple of years. So I guess I'm a little bit more at ease with this recession because I have thought about this for some time now. The Reserve Bank have warned us as well. It's coming. It's engineered, for instance. But I can understand if you're new to this content, you're probably thinking, why are we joking about this on the Keep the Change Instagram within that community? Why are you talking like this? Maybe, mate, take it a bit more seriously and have some compassion and things like that. And I certainly do. I have tried for months and now years to get people ready for where we were going to get to, and got a cool message this week from Mikey, who was speaking to someone who he met with, and they basically said, how the fuck did you guys know that this stuff, I'm listening to the podcast from a couple of years ago and you guys are talking about this stuff then? And that's because when you're a geek about something and you understand these cycles, you know, I don't understand everything and I'm not your guru and I'm not an expert, but if you can understand a little bit more than those who aren't interested, a lot of this stuff doesn't become a surprise. And I think that's sometimes really good to get closer to what can be the reality with all things of life, whether that be health, finances, the economy, and how some of these things work so that they don't sneak up on you. And that's part of what this content is designed to do, is to be a wake-up call for you, not just an announcement when something happens. Like, whoa, the market crashed. Let's fucking all freak out about that for the next 3 weeks. Hey, what should we be doing? And yep, there will be that stuff, but we'll be talking about that stuff a year out or before it happens without us knowing that it could happen, saying, hey, if it did, you know, how will we respond to that? What will we do? Will we just keep our habits going and things? So I really do hope that through this content, I've been able to prepare some people for the tough time that we are in and we continue to go in, because I don't know how bad it's going to get. I don't know how it's going to impact you, myself. I can see things changing massively because I can see the different conversations and stuff that I'm having, and the stress and the fighting and the stuff in the comments and the growth of Keep the Change, who I can tell you don't listen to the podcast, you like the reels and you want to leave some comments and you want to do the political ones but not the action-taking ones and stuff like that. So it's fascinating for me, and I really love consumer behavior, people's behavior, to try and understand, you know, what people are thinking about. So I hope that you are in a good place and that you have been taking action. And as always, it's never too late. And as I often say, what did Warren Buffett do through the 14 recessions he lived through? Do you think he went on holiday and said it's all over and freaked out and did nothing? You know, he has every right, when he lost, I think it was half of his net worth very early on in his career, to give it all up and go, now bugger this, this is not for me. But he didn't, and he stayed consistent and stuck to the principles that he knew he would work. And we have to expect some hard times along the way with these journeys too. And I really like that lady's attitude in there about how it's good for us to learn resilience as business owners through this, and it's good for all of us to learn this resilience too and to see what we do. You know, I had a really cool message this week where someone had their car break down and they needed a part, but instead of reactivating their buy now, pay later that they'd learned a year ago they didn't need, and they got out of that cycle and they broke that, and they thought, well, I'm going to need it to get this car part because one of the places where they could get it offered it. And they said they could hear me in the background saying, like, don't do it, don't do it, don't reactivate that. So they didn't do it. So it's really cool to see people waiting. You know, that person then waited the next week and brought the part and paid for it. So be very careful, you know, what you do through these times, the debt you take on, the exposure to risk that you have, and try and protect your downside, as Mikey often talks about. Look at what your downside is and think, can I manage that? And then I think that allows us to sleep a bit better at night. Anyway, if I keep going down that path, we're not going to get through this money mail, but I hope you're taking care of yourself, your family, and you're not too stressed by this stuff. Take some action. Action is the antidote to anxiety. There are 500 lessons. I'm sitting here on a Saturday for you, to help myself as well, to help people around me, and to get us closer to this goal of having more people prepared and thinking about this stuff, but ultimately taking action. So please, you know, take, if there's something you're worried about, write it down and then just get out of your emotions, write it down on a piece of paper and say, you know, I am worried about XYZ, and then flip into a mode of how could I solve this and start thinking about what it is you could do. And just have half an hour with yourself with no emotion. Be really honest, and it might be that you're in debt or you're worried about a bill that's coming up or something or a situation, and just write down every possible situation, and you will be amazed at how powerful you are. And you know that you have the answers in front of you, or you can find them, but it's then committing to taking one of those. Let's get into it. Money Mail this week, the resilience in your economy. I was going to send out a subject line saying, I told you so, just to be a real cock, you know, but I thought, fuck, am I better than that? I don't know if I am, to be honest. I was tempted. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll word it as, well, well, well. I'm like, that's boring. Anyway, I thought, nah, we got to go positive, don't we? And I'd already written this ahead of this week because I knew, like I said last week, that we're in recession. Even if we're not in a technical, we're in a per capita type recession, which you're hearing more about now too. A per capita recession is the output per person is going backwards. Now, because we're bringing so many people into the country, that should be nominally lifting the figure up, right, of growth. But if we start to look at it per capita and things like that, it doesn't look too good. But regardless, we're in a recession, okay? So let's look at why I don't think it's as bad as it could be if we don't look at the number of people coming into the country, for instance. And let's get ourselves thinking about the positive. Last week, I was telling you we're in recession But then the back half of the email was basically, let's start looking through to the future. So now we're going to look at the people that are already doing that and have started looking at their future sooner and going, I'm going to do some shit differently. So last week, we looked at the brutal reality of the economy here in New Zealand slowing down. This week, we had GDP data announced at negative 0.1. Now, I don't think there were some people predicted, well, economists forecasted a negative GDP print. The Reserve Bank was at 0.0. I kind of give up trying to follow what each of them are doing because I just start putting a stake in the ground for myself, figuring out, well, what do I think? What do I want to do? Let's roll. But anyway, recession confirmed, right? And we don't need to go down that path again. It should be old news to you by now. If you follow Keep the Change socials, I told you this on the 11th of December so that you could get a jump on it. And I posted it on LinkedIn as well and basically said, we're in a recession. There, someone said it. Sorry. As we headed towards Christmas. But hopefully this info in late March for you isn't a surprise because it's old now. It started in July last year. We got the negative two quarters. We're about to finish the March quarter. It's only 7 days away at the time of recording this. We're going to see an ugly print for that as well, I believe, but who knows? I could be wrong. But let's turn to some more positive shit, okay? And I want to remind you as well that I am realistically optimistic. Don't mistake me discussing what I can see and real data for being negative. I don't really like it when people say, oh man, you're not very positive. Well, okay, I'll give you some fucking positivity in a second because I'm hiring, I'm marketing, I'm growing, I'm launching new products, new services, I'm taking risk, I'm selling, I'm investing, I'm running events, I'm dumping $50,000 this year into this podcast without figuring out how I'm going to pay for that, but I will figure it out. So when people will say, oh, you're pretty doom and gloom, I'm like, well, okay, you might listen to me talk about this data and think that I'm being negative, but watch what I'm doing. And I'm trying new things and I'm doing all of this stuff with the knowledge of what we're in. And even a year ago, when I knew this shit ahead of people talking about it, I'm still thinking about doing it. So you don't do that unless you are strategically, keyword, strategically optimistic, right? Or you're stupid. So you can decide which of those I am. So you might want to call me doom and gloom, negative, whatever, and not very positive, but maybe think about it like that. I'm either strategically optimistic or I'm stupid. I don't think I'm negative just by being real, just talking about actual data, what I can see, trying to help people. But anyway, you can decide whether I'm strategically optimistic or stupid, and we'll get to find out as well. Anyway, the key to this is the internet fighting fit against the Reserve Bank of New Zealand? Because they want to increase unemployment. They want to engineer a recession, which they've done, and we're well and truly in. We're seeing large hardship requests for KiwiSavers. People are contacting mortgage advisors about their mortgage options. Banks are reporting increased hardship. 480,000 people are behind on some form of credit payment. I don't want this shit to be the outcome. It just is what it is. This is happening. This is just data. So buy now, pay later is on the up again. Credit cards are too. I'm not doing this stuff. It ain't me. People are like, oh man, you're pretty fucking negative. Well, shit, man. I'm trying to stop people doing this stuff and you're calling me negative. It's getting a bit confusing for me now, but that's where, I can see these things turning where I've been trying to provide solutions and warn people. And now that I'm talking about it happening, it's like, oh, come on, man. Like, what's the positive stuff? Like, well, the positive thing is I fucking warned people for 3 years. Don't know. Maybe that's pretty positive for me. You know, when you were doing nothing and jacking up more debt and stuff and getting excited about that and not listening. Yeah, that's when I was coming in here, 26 out of 52 weekends last year, being like, fuck, I wonder if I can help some people ahead of us getting to this. That seemed pretty positive to me. But anyway, let's keep rolling. The economy is still very resilient. And just like that lady said at the start of that clip, it's good to learn some of this resilience. And unemployment hasn't increased at the pace many economists predicted. So to be honest, I thought there would be more hurt by now too. But I learned two things that you can't measure in data and you can never underestimate. Humans are massively resilient. Think about that. For all the shit we read, see, go through, you hear me talk about, and that we worry about, we are still here. Even if, like I said before, you've got something you're worried about and said, write it down, you're still here. Up the fucking humans. I was once told that people will fight harder to keep what they have than they will fight to get what they don't have. When I first heard that, I'm like, could you explain that? Or what the hell did you just say? Humans will fight harder to keep what they have than they will fight to get what they don't have. That sentence probably deserves its own money mail. But for now, once we have something, we don't want to lose it. I knew that Kiwis would step up and fight. They don't want to lose their homes, their house, their castle, their deposit. No way. We will exhaust all options before succumbing to the reality of that. Now, yes, some people will lose their homes, their house, their castle, their jobs, their deposits, funds. They'll go backwards and things, but they're still here. They're still here. They're resilient. They're in the fight and they will find a way through. But a lot of people will do whatever it takes not to lose those things because they want them and they'll fight hard to keep them. We will exhaust all options before losing this stuff. And there are many options compared to the last major economic downturn. Remember, the one that we labelled as the GFC back in 2006 to 2009. Well, life looks very different these days. There's a beautiful thing called the internet. When there is credit and money still out there, resilient humans will find a way to grab it, like renting out a room via an online platform, delivering groceries to someone from an online order, posting your services on social media, i.e. an offer to clean for someone, driving someone as an Uber from an online booking, renting out the holiday home via an online platform, selling a dress on Facebook Marketplace or similar, renting out equipment, clothing on an online platform, contracting via the cloud in the evening, doing online consults, tutoring via Zoom, taking payment via credit card processes, getting payment same day via bank transfer. Bonus too, that are my favorite but not necessarily related to the internet, working on a weekend, one of the 104 days of the year that you don't have to go to work, or one of the 41 sick slash annual slash public holidays off. Yes, I know not everybody gets all of those days or has access to them. However, it's a lever. Catching and selling wild goats on the farm. Had to put that one in for one of my best mates because that is a cracker. So I could go on, but you can see what is possible. All of the above examples are true examples people have told me recently, so they came to me straight away. There will be plenty more. Now, yesterday I received a message from a legend who is part of the Keep the Change Instagram community, and they said the missing thing with your podcast or missing content could be that it seems like you're often talking to single people rather than people who have children. Now, maybe that's right because I don't have children yet. And the beauty is I'll get to that at some stage and I'll have those lessons hopefully for you and maybe I'll seek them out for you. But just because that's your profile doesn't mean you can't achieve things. So I said, okay, well, I will post something to the Instagram grid and then people can tell you that our parents, what it is that they're doing for extra income. The key is that you then have to take action. Action is greater than info. So I can interview as many people as you like and hear from parents and stuff, but unless you take action and do stuff, then it's not going to matter. So be very careful putting yourself into a profile of I'm a parent. I come from a small town. I have this going against me. Oh, I work 6 days a week already. And then there's the, oh, I want to, you know, I've got to balance making money with time of my children and stuff. Completely get it. I don't understand your life. You don't understand mine, but you don't understand your neighbors and you don't understand the parents that are making sense of making that money too. We've got to, for ourselves, figure out when it matters enough for us to go, you know what, I want to go and make it happen. So as an example, you might have a house that you live in with your children. It might be a beautiful house, your castle. Well, that's an asset if you rent it out for a weekend, maybe once a quarter, and then you go and stay with your family, your partner's family. Oh, they're all dead. They don't have a house. Okay, great. What about your friends? We don't have any friends. Shit. Okay, why don't you rent somewhere for that weekend? That's cheaper so you can make the margin. Oh, that's a lot of hassle. If you keep looking for why you can't do shit, you will never do shit. And you will say, oh, it's because we're parents with kids as an example. I'm just using parents with kids in this example because it happened yesterday. Same thing with whatever it is that you're going through. Because this is what I used to think like. And then I learned if you get out of that thinking and look for how you can rather than why you can't, fuck, you realize you've been hiding from the world the whole time. You think the world's been hiding from you, but you've been hiding from it. And all of a sudden you start to see it differently and there are all these different options around you. And it takes you to decide to go on that journey to do that, whether you're a single lad, whether you're a single lass, whatever you are, with kids, one kid, two kids, three kids, 46 kids, I don't know. You chose that profile. Don't be limited by that profile, because there is somebody somewhere else that has the same profile that is wondering, how come you can't see the world the way that they can? So be inspired by that. Let your profile go. And every time you say as a single, as a mother of two kids, as a solo father, every time you say that, that is the profile that you're putting yourself into. There's your limitations in there. There's your identity in there. Be very careful what you set that standard to be and what that ceiling is. There are people achieving extraordinary things around all of us that have more than us, less than us, or even identical or very similar profiles. So much like someone else came to me recently who, same sort of thing, parent with children, they said to me, geez, man, I didn't realize until I started following some of your content compared to getting out of the stay-at-home mums Facebook group how fucking warped my worldview was and how hard it was, because that's all I was surrounded by is all of this stuff going against us and how hard it is and people backing each other up, rather than, holy shit, there's some people over here that are the exact same, but they're doing heaps of stuff and they're finding ways to make some extra cash because they want to. Or it might not be extra cash, it might just be a different way of living, but you have to want to first. So that goes for all of us. If we want something bad enough, we'll have to fight to get it, but we'll often fight harder to keep what we already have. So we'd like to keep our same profile, because you have to remember, say you have two kids as a family, some people can't have kids and they want those kids and they're thinking, why the fuck are you complaining about having kids when I can't have kids? So be grateful for your profile as well and think, what is it that I'm not seeing yet because I haven't gone looking for it? And we'll often fight to keep our life the same as it is and stay there, because that's how we're hardwired to fight to keep things, whether it be the same or make sure we don't lose them, compared to what we do to go, right, I'm going to have to do something differently. I'm going to have to fight harder to get something that I don't have. Whew, gee whiz, really got going there, didn't I? But hopefully you can hear that come from a positive lens, because I just don't like seeing Kiwis, no matter what profile it is, when they message me and tell me, like, I can't do that because of XYZ. No, hang on. And, you know, I was working with a business owner yesterday and they said, I'm just A compared to you guys. I'm like, whoa, hang on. We're not just A anything in here. Oh, I'm small. Well, no, we do not talk down to ourselves like that in here. You're capable of whatever you want. And this is a supportive environment and no one's judging you in here. Like, oh, okay, cool, sweet. So we have to reframe some of these things that we think are holding us back so that they don't, because eventually they're not going to be the profiles too. You know, what happens when the kids finally leave the home and we go, oh, we're still going to be in that mode of, oh, you know, this content seems like it's not directed to people that kids have left home. We're like, well, okay. So you will find the answers if you really want to go looking for them. And the beauty is that we have the internet now and we've got more opportunity than we ever have before. It's just that for a long time, we haven't really had to go looking for it. So please, you know, don't sell yourself short of what is actually possible for you out there. Now, I know that for many of us, we don't want make more money to be the answer. And that's why we say things like, oh, you know, it's going to take away time with my family, my kids and stuff. I'm in here on a Saturday myself recording away from my partner. I might not go to something I've been invited to this afternoon because I need to catch up on some things. There are always sacrifices for all of us. We have to figure out whether those sacrifices are worth it or not. And, you know, everybody can understand that. So it's not just you if you have children, you know, that is going through the, do I sacrifice quality time with XYZ, whether it's your friends, your family, your partner, or your children, for instance, and, oh, they're only young for a little while. Like, everybody hears you, but everybody's going through their own version of that. So we've all got to work through, okay, if I have to make some more money, then is it worth the sacrifice? And individually, we have to decide that. Now, many will cite work-life balance and overworking. I get it. I hear all that stuff. But also, when you're in hardship or already stressed, you aren't in balance. So you don't really have a good case for arguing about work-life balance and things like that when you're already stressed and you're out of balance. Your mind is overworking and you're already sacrificing. So action is the antidote to anxiety. And hopefully this is a temporary solution, but it is a solution. And I didn't say I wanted this to be the solution for you, but it is a solution. Many of us aren't in the position to turn our noses up at solutions right now. So what that means is that if we are already with our backs against the wall a little bit, you know, don't turn down a potential solution. Even I am back into the economic mode of, you know what, I don't really want to do that, but I'm going to. Why? Because the money's on the table. Pac-Man, go and take it off. And maybe a year ago, I didn't have to do that. But maybe this year, given the economic times we're in and the goals that I still have, I'm going to have to do it. Maybe I just got to suck it up and do the things that I haven't wanted to do because the times we're in suggest that, well, if you still want the things you want, Luke, you're going to have to do it. So to make back the $50,000 of investment into the Keep the Change podcast this year, for instance, I'm going to have to do some shit and deal with some stuff that I don't really want to do, but I'm going to have to do it because I've got to recover that, right? So again, individually, we think it's just us feeling these things and I'm the only one that's going through this and whatnot. Everybody is thinking about this stuff a little bit differently. All I'm saying is I didn't say that I wanted make more money to be the solution for you or to do some things you don't want to do, but many of us aren't in the position to turn our noses up at solutions right now. So cutting Netflix, you know, that was cool, man. It was on 7 Sharp and stuff for about 18 months. That was the easy one. People talking about that, people popping up, live a cheap life and that'll fix you for the recession and stuff. Yeah, sweet. Okay, cool. But now it's time to explore the actual levers that can help us alleviate the pressure. If you binge Netflix, Neon, whatever, all those things, for instance, even one of them, like, what are you doing in that time that you used to spend? Don't worry about the money. Think about the time. What are you doing with that time? Because you used to justify that it was okay to use your time to watch that. So maybe you save yourself the cost, but you've saved yourself the time. Put that time into something productive as well. It's time to explore the actual levers that can help us and alleviate the pressure. It's just an example that comes back to me from what someone said to me. I read the parent saying this content's not around, you know, parents making extra cash. Someone messaged me and they said, dude, this person's looking at it all the wrong way. I make extra money with my kids. I'm like, sorry, explain that. They're like, well, we bake stuff together. We get fruit from the neighbors and we sell it out at the gate and we have heaps of fun doing it and they're learning about entrepreneurship and business. Change the lens and you'll find different ways to do it. I'm like, whoa. So that's something that I hadn't even really thought of, but I have seen that happening before, but that's how they've chosen to do it. So again, this is different for all of us. But don't be scared to ask for work, to ask for more money, to put yourself out there, to sell stuff in a time like this, because the internet is a very, very powerful thing. So don't waste its ability to help you become more resilient in this economy. Now, as an example for myself, I can still remember going to see Dad when he was working on the weekends in his job and my stepmom would take us to see him. Now, that's very vivid for me, but he seemed very happy in that and he was very good at what he did. So I've probably had a seed planted for me when I was younger that, well, Dad worked on a Saturday and no one seemed to care. No one seemed to feel sorry for him. That was just part of his job. And he was really good at it and they needed him to do it. So he was the person to do it. But it was exciting. And another memory for me, for instance, is that, you know, my sister would go into my stepmom's, I think she sat at her desk and there's this photo of her drawing at the desk and she's so excited and happy. And maybe work's a gift. Okay, we talk about it pretty negatively because things have been pretty easy and whatnot, but maybe what you do is actually fucking really cool for your kids as well. So don't forget that maybe you might plant some seeds by them seeing you doing stuff that you really enjoy and that you're good at, and they might then decide, hey, maybe I want to do that for a career or whatnot. I don't know where this big narrative about anti-work came from. This thing is good for us. Like when I went to the Philippines, I was trying to explain to someone in the Philippines about how we want to decrease the amount of work we do. And they're like, what the hell? Work is the essence of life. So maybe we just have to change our relationship with it as well. Equally, remember going to work with my mum, for instance, and can still see that. And I would do things while she was doing work and you're around that, all good. I had a summer where I worked with my stepdad as well in the same place. And I was becoming a man or getting a bit older and seeing like, oh, fuck, is this how the world works and whatnot? So, you know, I think we have so much opportunity around us to both make more money, but also just embrace the fact that in hard times, we're still going to have to work, and work's not all that bad. Why do we keep trying to run from it? Probably it's because we don't, if it's work we don't want to be doing. That's why I think it's really important to help people be curious about the work that they do want to do so that we can get people to go, oh, well, shit, this whole work-life balance and overworking stuff isn't so much of a conversation for me to worry about anymore because I really like this. And so, hey, yeah, it is a Saturday morning, but I don't begrudge that I'm in here. I still have to make sacrifices, but it's enjoyable. I hope that people can get the opportunity to find things like that in their life to see what they can get out of it. At least give it a crack and try it so that then they know. And the internet has allowed us to do things like that at scale too, where we can have a crack at something online, see if we can sell something, see if we can build a market and audience and have some fun doing it. So please don't waste the ability that you have to become more resilient in this economy. And the internet is so powerful and it's there to help you. And it will help you become more resilient if you look for ways for it to work with you so that you're a producer, not a consumer. So think about that. How can you create through hard times as others consume and sit back? Keep the Change is always encouraging you to be bold. You're one of over 9,875 recipients. There's about 5,500 on LinkedIn, which is pretty cool now. Can't wait to get the March data of downloads. I hope you've been enjoying the new episodes that are coming out. Did you know in the December 2023 quarter, compared with the September 2023 quarter, GDP per capita fell 0.7%? So we're in a bit of a hole now, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this all plays out. If you didn't listen to last week's Money Mail, suggest that you do. Gee, we ended up getting pretty deep there all over the show. But I got some stuff that I need to do. Look, be good. Look after yourself. Don't worry too much about these headlines. Worry about what it is that you can do and what you can control to look after yourself. Don't waste the power of the internet that's at your fingertips. You know I be doing this thing for fun. You know I keeping this shit 100. You know I was raised in the South 09. You know I. Gotta make hay while the sun still shines.